Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we read from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, and today we read from verses 10 to 22 of chapter 28. I'm repeating this because I want to say to you once more, if it's at all possible to have Scripture with you when you're listening to the program, it can be very helpful. Even if you have a different translation, still you're getting the essence of the word, both from reading it and from hearing it. And because of the amount and the variety of distractions that we have all around us, it's so easy to say, oh yes, I heard that on her program this morning, but I can't remember now exactly what book it was or who said this. We need to know this, brothers and sisters, not just to store up information, but we need to allow the word and the power of the word to overcome all our distractions, so that the word has an opportunity for 15 minutes a day, at least, that the word has an opportunity to really take root into our hearts, that the soil becomes more fertile. We receive water, in a sense, from God to irrigate that land. I'm tying a number of images together here, but my point is, that what we want to do is have the seed of God's word bear fruit, really bear fruit in our lives. And as I said, because of all the distractions, it is so easy for us, as we say, to go in one ear and out the other, and we never really take it into our minds and our hearts. So I want to encourage you to take this 15 minutes seriously, put aside the time. If at all possible, have your scripture in front of you so that the word has two ways of reaching you, both by hearing and by sight. That stands a better chance of staying in your mind. Book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. Jacob departed from Beersheba and proceeded toward Haran. When he came upon a certain shrine, as the sun had already set, he stopped there for the night. Taking one of the stones at the shrine, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep at that spot. Then he had a dream. A stairway rested on the ground with its top reaching to the heavens, and God's messengers were going up and down on it. And there was the Lord standing beside him and saying, I, the Lord, am the God of your forefather Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you are lying, I will give to you and your descendants. These shall be as plentiful as the dust of the earth, and through them you shall spread out east and west, north and south. In you and your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. Know that I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he exclaimed, truly the Lord is in this spot, although I did not know it. In solemn wonder, he cried out, how awesome is this shrine! This is nothing else but an abode of God, and that is the gateway to heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head, set it up as a memorial stone, and poured oil on top of it. He called the site Bethel, whereas the former name of the town had been Luz. Jacob then made this vow, if God remains with me to protect me on this journey I am making, and to give me enough bread to eat and clothing to wear, and I come back safe to my father's house, the Lord shall be my God. This stone that I have set up as a memorial stone shall be God's abode. How many times has God spoken to you in your heart? I'm not equating it with what happened to Jacob here, but how many times has something pierced your heart, inspired you, given you something that enables you to see life from a slightly different angle, or to see a particular situation that's troubling you, to see it from a slightly different angle? How many times has that happened to you in your life? God does that for us if we're listening, if we're paying attention, if we're bringing things to Him. God speaks to us through circumstances, through other people, and sometimes He speaks to us in our own hearts. He speaks to us, obviously, through His Word. What do you do when you get an inspiration or an idea? What do you do with that? Do you just think, oh, that was a good idea, or that's a good thought, and you do something about it and never think about it again? The thoughts that lead us closer to God, the thoughts that help us to understand our circumstances in light of God and God's plan, are inspirations from God. Write them down. Keep them, even if they apply simply to a particular situation. God, in a certain way, is revealing Himself. Write them down. Ponder them. You'll see how God can lead you. Now, all of that needs to be tested out. Sometimes, as somebody said, we had a bad dream or we had indigestion, and what we think might be an inspiration might not be any inspiration at all. So we need to test those things out. Test them out with your confessor. Test them out with a trusted friend who is close to the Lord. But the point is, brothers and sisters, God is speaking to us all the time. All the time He's speaking to us through circumstances. And we miss so much of it. Psalm 91 says, "In you, my God, I place my trust. In you I place my trust. For He will rescue you from the snare of the fowler, from the destroying pestilence. With His pinions He will cover you. Under His wings you shall take refuge. Because He clings to me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he acknowledges my name." These are the Psalms, brothers and sisters. These are the promises of God to His people. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in distress." How near God is, brothers and sisters. But I know I sound like a broken record sometimes, but He will never violate our free will. So it's up to us to say to the Lord, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for becoming flesh for me. Thank you for showing me the way home to the Father. Thank you for dying for me," etc., etc., etc. How often do you do that? Enter into a relationship. It's there. It's there. It's not like having a human being standing in front of you, but God speaks through creation. God speaks through His Word primarily. God speaks obviously through the sacraments. Are you listening? When you get an insight, jot it down. Reflect on it. God speaks to us in many, many, many ways. The gospel for today from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before Him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live." This is an official. This is a secular person. But he's in probably shock, trauma in his life. Their daughter has died. And he just goes right up to Jesus. And he kneels down before Him. A sign that he knows he's speaking to somebody whose authority he needs. Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And while he's walking along, a woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured. Jesus turned around and saw her and said, Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you. This woman comes up to him from behind. From behind, she's hemorrhaging. She was unclean. You could never touch anything if such was going on in your body for whatever reason. So she's unclean, but she still reaches out. And Jesus turns around and he says, Who touched me? Who touched me? And then he says to her, Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you. Courage. Jesus knows everything. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows everything about us. And then Jesus went on with this official. And when Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players in the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. Did Jesus say, Okay, well, enough of you, and walk away? No. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all that land. Healing, raising from the dead. Brothers and sisters, there are many ways today. The time of Jesus' earthly journey is over. But Jesus never fails to listen to us. Jesus never fails to hear our prayers. Never. Your prayers he hears as clearly as if you were the only person living. He hears you. And he longs for you. He longs for you to draw near to him. He longs for you to bring your troubles and the difficulties and the challenges that you have. Bring them to him. Sit with him. Learn from him. And as I said in the beginning of this program, let the framework, certainly the Eucharist, certainly the other sacraments are pivotal, but also daily read his word. Ponder it. Because God wants to speak to you. That word is, as scripture says, the word of God is living. The word of God is active. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can penetrate and separate bone from marrow. It can convict us and challenge us. It can comfort us. It can strengthen us. Read the word of God daily, daily. And one of the ways, if you're not accustomed to it, is to take the mass readings of the day. You could start with the book of Genesis and go through the Old Testament and through the New to the book of Revelation. You can do it that way. Many people do, and you want to do that sometime in your life. Absolutely. But you can also pick up whatever readings are provided for the Mass of the day, and you can grow. You can learn, because that word has power to inform and to comfort and to change you. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.